True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's open is going to have worse candidates than the Virginia Tech job.
Yeah, what is UCLA football?
What is UCLA athletics? Because, you and I have talked about this. If you watch Mick, he clearly does not think UCLA is living up to what the standard of being competitive is.
Yeah, they need to hire somebody to run the triple option, because playing legitimate football in the Big Ten, I don't see it. I don't see it for UCLA.
I don't even know what they are. My thing is, if you're getting these Big Ten checks, what are they even doing with the money?
They're trying to get out of hundreds of millions of dollars in debt.
Because that's the thing. Every person that wrote a story had the exact same quotes, whatnot. They're talking to all these coaches, you can't get any kind of funding. Forget NIL. Why do you think Chip Kelly left?
Right. It's. I wouldn't take that job unless I were just content to get fired after 3 years and get a $15 million buyout.
Can you do that? Can you just take your athletic money and spend it? Because that's the other thing. I keep wondering, where is all their debt? They're not financing stadiums or anything. Where's their debt? I knew Cal was in debt, but Cal was in debt because remember they tried to basically build a brand new stadium, and they were doing all that with loans. But that was $500 million. Where's UCLA's debt?
Well, they fell behind because they were in the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 revenue was falling short of
They're not. I don't think they're paying for any of these Rose Bowl renovations. I think that's all done through LA for the Olympics and for the World Cup.
Well, it's got to be to fund all their non-revenue sports, right?
I guess that has to be the answer.
But yeah, all the UCLA job is good for, if you're a head coach considering it, is, hey, well, I'll take it. I'll probably lose and I'll probably get a nice buyout, which, to be honest, that might be really attractive to some Mountain West coaches right now. All right, well, if I can get in the mix for a UCLA gig, then sure, I'll go there and take their money.
What was Foster's buyout?
Oh, it had to be minuscule. He was a late hire. He was the classic sort of.
So Deshaun, 7.9, not bad work if you can get it.
Yeah, yeah. Prize was around 6. And it's funny, isn't it, how if it's under 10 million now, it's nothing. Pay so much more.
Well, it seems like what everybody's saying is, how long do we have to pay it? It's as long as we get to pay it over 3 years, if it's monthly installments, that's not that big of a deal.
And then if the guy gets another job,
it's offset. Usually, no, Jimbo's wasn't there. God.
No, and Jimbo has not found another job. So
West Virginia is pretty close. Listen, West Virginia is pretty close.
I could see Virginia Tech, getting interested in making that move.
It's a national championship. Can I interest you in a national championship coach?
who's from the nearby state of West Virginia. You know, I'm so over the idea that we could, you know, this whole concept of, oh, Ed Ogeron's getting back in, Jimbo's getting back
I
in.
I want to be Who's clear. Jimbo is a different thing than Ed Ogeron. Yes, Jimbo is a little resistant to playing cheating football. Not with the roster. He's fine with that. But a lot of these RPOs, it's all BS. Like, you shouldn't be able to do it. It's not real football. Sorry, he's teaching quarterbacks how to play the position. Every quarterback he's ever had has always been overdrafted. Why? Because they get on a grease board and they know football. Sorry for preparing the whole individual.
Okay. All right. So we got Jeffrey down for Jimbo Fisher.
If it's a bad job, I don't want Jimbo at a good job. But I do think Jimbo, if the job is like, can you coach up? Like, can you, if like the expectations are, can you take like guys that aren't as talented and coach them up, scheme them up to being like, 7-5, 8-4. I think he can do that.
I don't know if that's what Virginia Tech needs. They need an overhaul. They need some fresh blood.
They need Shane. They got to bring him home. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we had NFL injuries that we need to get into, as well as the week that was. We'll do that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt's going to join the program in about 20 minutes or so. Before we do that, let's get into the list. NFL Week 2. All right, Kyle, I'm going to shoot from the hip. I don't know how much of week two you got to watch, because I know Sunday's obviously kind of a catch-up day for you, and we had all the football. But overall, and I did put this on X, the Everything app, last night, the 12 o'clock and the 3 o'clock windows were like cocaine laced with speed. Oh. Like, it was the best. Like, it was just... Not that was one of the all-time great witching hours. Like, if you were just watching Red Zone and you had Hanson guiding you through it, like, you felt like it was tough to breathe, because like, you were afraid to like even go to the bathroom for a second because you might miss something. We had the Pats and Dolphins. That was a college football game. Like, you had bad kickoff return, like allowing kickoff returns for touchdowns, like terrible defense allowing explosive plays. Like, I was like, I watched this game yesterday, and it was played in Oxford, but it was being played by professionals. But then we got last night's Sunday night game. And that's like when you open up a bad bottle of wine, but you just sit there and you just drink it, cuz like, well, I opened it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to go ahead and finish this. Like, I've got work and whatever tomorrow. Like, I could pour this out, but like, you know, there's thirsty kids in Africa that don't have a buzz.
Well, I guess we can finally do away with the JJ McCarthy hype. Well, not only is he hurt, but like, prior to getting hurt, he looked really
bad. Okay, so I'm glad you bring that up, because I said this on Monday, or I'm sorry, last Tuesday, and Calkins shot it down. I did find myself, as I was watching the Vikings and the Bears, I was like, do both these teams stink? And
oh, no. Yeah, I think so.
And, like, listen, I kind of went out on a limb, and I was like, I don't think Caleb Williams is every problem the Bears have. But like,
well, when you give up 52 points, generally speaking, I think the defense has some issues.
But I'm even talking about last week. I was like, yes, he missed throws and he could have played better and maybe it changes the outcome. But I was like, when you have a team that has a 19% rushing success rate, playing quarterback is really hard at that point. Like, when everybody knows, hey, we don't have to worry about them running the ball. We can just go right at them and blitz them all night. And also, I don't exactly think as a young quarterback, Brian Flores' defense is what you would call like training wheels. Like, that feels like that's expert mode, knowing how to play against that. So, but last night was kind of proof of, it is funny to watch the NFL fans go through what college football fans went through with JJ McCarthy, which is like, everybody's pulling their hair out. Like, this guy's not good. But then you look up, like, he plays on winning teams and like, everybody doesn't know what to do.
Well, that is my favorite part of the NFL.
Like, watching people that haven't seen what we've seen for years.
Yes, seeing people learn.
Well, but it also came back to us on the playoff. Watching people that have never seen the NFL playoffs in college football and then being apoplectic that there were blowouts in the first rounds. Like, let me tell you about something the commissioner calls super wild card weekend. These games stink.
Yeah, exactly. No, that game last night was atrocious. So really, it's like, all the J.J. McCarthy hype was a guy basically running in the 2-minute drill for the entirety of the fourth quarter in week one. A lot of quarterbacks look good when you put them in the 2-minute drill and when the opposing defense is in prevent mode, right? Like, it's easy to get your stats up, make some plays, whatever. Nice victory. But now, well, you know, he's hurt. So honestly,
well, no, you bring up a good point. If you actually think about it, it was extended garbage time that became like significant.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, their backup is Carson Wentz. Is that right?
That is correct.
Sure? So I'm pretty sure, like,
we're going to get on Sunday, unless the Bengals make a move and get Cousins, which, by the way, that was the other thing. That's when you knew it was really bad last night, when you're sitting there going, could one of these teams play Kirk Cousins? Like, please? Like, yeah, we might see some completions.
Like, well, I don't know if I even really...
They gave us a highlight. Did you see when they came out of a break and they gave us a highlight package of how quickly Michael Penix was getting the ball out of his hands?
Well, that's the thing. I don't feel compelled to cast any judgment on Michael Penix. Like, he just... They just did what they had to do to win the game.
Yeah, no, they were like, don't throw it to the other team. Like, that was it. Right. Those were his instructions. It was like, don't throw it to the other team. If we punt, that's fine.
But mission accomplished.
It is hilarious to think, like, on Tuesday morning, there were legitimate discussions had about re-ranking the quarterbacks of that draft class and J.J. McCarthy going 2.
Oh, get out of here with that, man. Like, we watched him. Like, we've watched him.
I'll give him this. You know what else he's good at? It's not just 2-minute drill. Because he played in a real offense, like an old-school offense that actually, like, calls plays rather than just, like, hey, look for your one-on-one, he is very good throwing off of play action on time. And if you look at, like, when they started to get back, A, the Vikings ran the football better on Monday night, not last night, but they ran the ball better on Monday night in the second half, and he started to hit some play action shots. He's good at that. But, like, this idea that you want him, like, running a full game offense, it's like, I never got it.
No. By the way, how are you doing with the Giants situation?
I mean, oh, it's awful.
It's got to be tough.
It's twofold. One, I do actually find myself, I was apoplectic when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones, because I famously, it was the week after, or Aaliyah and I went to Florida and we're sitting at dinner and it was draft night. She's like, what do you think the Giants are going to do? I go, I don't know. They'll do something stupid like trade up and get Daniel Jones, and it's going to drive me insane. But I did find myself, like, throughout, at some point when you turn to your guy, you got no choice. You're rooting for him anyway. You want the best for him. And so when everyone would make every Giants problem into Daniel Jones, I was like, you are not watching the games. Like,
well, Daniel Jones looked pretty good yesterday.
I find myself rooting for him. And I'm like, he's not that bad. Do I think he's the NFL's leading passer like he is right now? Or I think he's second in passing? No. But yesterday was so aggravating as a Giants fan, because I'm now at the point where I just want to watch Jackson Dart.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson threw for 400.
It's the worst.
Yards.
That means we're going to stick with him longer, and we're still not going to win. At least if we're going to lose, I can have the young quarterback, and I can talk myself into maybe next year. Maybe next year we can sneak into the wild card game. Maybe in year 3, we have enough money that we can spend and have some receivers around him. It was good to see Malik Nabers actually care yesterday. That was insane. But also from that game, I had this thought. I know there have probably statistically been better kickers. Like, Justin Tucker in his prime was a better kicker. I think the most electric kicker I've ever watched in my life is Brandon Aubrey. It is
64?
Not only that, it looked like he took his wedge out.
The distances that these guys are hitting from regularly now is insane. Like, I remember when, like,
it was 64 yards and he worked it in. Did you see? He hit, like, it was a 64 yard, like, draw fade. Like, yeah. It looked like it was hooked. It looked like it was going to slice dead right, and then it came in.
Well, all I know is that in our 92-9 league, I just went out and picked up the defense that was playing the Giants, because I was like,
yeah, I did the same thing.
Whatever.
I did the same thing.
They're playing the Giants.
It was like -6. What did we get? It was terrible.
I don't think I was going to beat Brad even if I had a good defensive showing, but needless to say, that was a poor bit of GMing on my part.
Also, I've mentioned I was curious if Josh Allen was going to be on a kill everyone tour. I'm like a week or two away from thinking like Josh Allen's on a kill everyone tour. And I know like he wasn't quote unquote Superman, but yesterday was like professional quarterbacking. Like, I don't really care how we get this done. I'm going to get us a 3-score, 4-score lead, and we're going to drive this thing home. Like, you blinked and they were up 20-3.
Yeah, I kind of took the wind out of my Justin Fields sails.
George was on quite the roller coaster because he's a Jets fan. He was like, last week he had hopes. He's like, oh, Buffalo, you know, Buffalo can't stop the run.
Yeah, I thought Buffalo was bad defensively. I guess they're not.
No, I think what it actually showed, like, that was kind of my other takeaway, is like, the Ravens offense is like insane. Like, the way they run the ball is not the same as like even the like. Do I think the Jets are going to be bad running the football the rest of the year? No, I don't. I do think it shows like that's how good the Ravens are. And then I think the other thing that you realize is the Packers might be awesome because the Lions looked like everyone's like, oh my God, like this is a disaster. And then yesterday it's like, nope, that's the Lions again.
Yeah, the Lions look good. The Packers look good. And then what are you doing, Jeffrey, with your Kansas City stock?
I think I want to double down.
Yeah, me too. I'm absolutely right there with you. Because think about that interception. Makuba, I think, came down with it, runs it back. Like, was that pass? That pass was intended for Travis Kelce, wasn't it? And it hit him in the hands.
In fairness to Kelce, it hit him in the hands. It's a catch we've seen him make. It was not like it split the 8 and the 7. He had to go down for it a little bit. And the problem was he went down for it, but he didn't like go down to the ground. I think if he goes down to the ground, he either slides and makes the catch. Maybe he's short, but the fact that he tried to like reach down and get it, a catch again that we've seen throughout his career, but because he did that, he kind of tipped it up and that allowed the pick to happen.
Well, look, man, you and I have both been there. When you're planning a wedding, it's hard to be
no, you're,
at
listen,
your best.
No, I mean, and that's the other thing is like he's probably tasting samples. Like he's having to like look at that book and pretend like he cares when he doesn't. Like that's tough.
The invite list is weighing heavy. Do I invite Butch Jones or do I not invite Butch Jones?
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of went with the Eric Foreman approach. Like, I thought the first time you get asked a very specific question, give what you know is the wrong answer, like the obviously wrong answers, in the hopes that she won't ever ask you again. Because the truth is, like, it doesn't matter what you want. You're going to do what she wants. It's her wedding. Like, so, like,
or
I don't
if
care.
If there is something that you want, say the opposite. So, you know.
Correct.
You'll end up with that.
Yeah.
You know?
He's
obviously got to work through some things.
But on top of that, they're going to obviously get Rice back, what, in 5 games? Was it?
It's a 6-game suspension.
So they're going to get him back in 4 games. They're going to have Worthy back at some point. Like, they're going to get their weapons back. And, like, let's take a look at what has happened to them. They lost a game in Brazil. They didn't play well in the first half. And then they started chasing points. And because they started chasing points, it wound up being a 2-score game when they could have gotten the ball back needing one touchdown. All right, that happens. And then yesterday, they lost to the defending champion in a game that they made a couple of crucial mistakes, and they got smushed.
Yeah, I'm not selling at all. I think now, long term, do I think Kansas City is a Super Bowl favorite? I don't know. I think their title contending era may have kind of ended.
I think we're last season. I think we're in the Pats. So the Pats they win 3 in 4 years, and then there's a decade in between where I don't know if you know this. The Giants beat them twice in the Super Bowl. Not that I was counting. But like they had this period where they were still really good, but they were not like the standard of the AFC. I think we're in that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It's kind of like, you know, the Warriors post KD.
Yeah.
Like they're still really good. They could still get it done.
Like that team still won a title once.
They did. And maybe Kansas City will. But it feels like there's enough competition now, especially in the AFC with Buffalo, with Baltimore, that like with Cincinnati. I mean, we'll see. Obviously, they're going to, if Jake Browning keeps playing like he did yesterday, I guess maybe Cincinnati's still a threat, you know? But
I did like how Jake Browning got in there and did exactly like what you would do if you got in and you knew that you were playing quarterback. You're like, where's Ja'Marr Chase? Like,
yeah,
I'm also, just going to just force feed Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, I learned yesterday that Jake Browning still plays in the NFL, so that was interesting.
Is he now married to the girl that wore the white jumpsuit?
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure they have to be married now. Yeah, like that's the other, that's the only thing people know about Jake Browning. It's like his girlfriend was really hot.
Yeah, my man's been in the NFL for a minute now, but hasn't done anything of any significance ever. So for him to just come in there yesterday and play like a vet who has been in a bunch of battles, and I mean, he hasn't been. Like, this guy is the classic NFL backup quarterback. He reminds me of like a Tyler Bray, who just somehow made a living on a roster for a long time without ever throwing a pass.
Man, Trubisky got in yesterday when Josh broke his nose. Trubisky got in there and like threw a dime on a corner route. You're like, oh, okay.
You still exist?
That was pretty nice.
That's one of my favorite like NFL sort of moments is, wait, that guy still plays quarterback in the league?
Oh, God, there was one the other day that I was watching. I was like, no way. Who was it?
Well, I kind of feel that way every time I see Joe Flacco, but...
Yeah. Also, we're all in agreement, right? We officially have reached the period where... Like, we're in this era of rebranding everything. We have to rebrand Turf Toe. Because when you hear somebody has Turf Toe, like, we went through this when Jaren had the surgery on Turf Toe. And we're all like, isn't that just like a boo-boo? Like, it's your toe. Like, can't you just, like, shoot it up? But, like, this type of injury that both of them, because it seems like they're having the same surgery. So Burrow has this yesterday. It's like they ripped the entire, like, you rip basically the tendons on the bottom of your foot, and like, but that's to me like that. We've got to rebrand Turf Toe. It's like, well, that doesn't sound like Turf Toe. That sounds like a horrible injury.
It sounds like a torn ligament in your foot. Yeah. To your point, like if it were just his pinky toe, yeah, I mean, just cut that
thing
off.
Yeah, can't you just, like, do you really need it that bad? Like, does it like affect your balance? Like, what, come on, like, get back in there. Like, certainly, like, Toradol could help that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And also in basketball, you're not even playing on turf. Like, why?
Right, yeah, exactly. How do you get turf toe? Like, you're playing on hardwood. Quickly, before we get to CJ, the ACC. Okay, so you and I are probably one of the dozens of people that recognize this on Thursday night. But the ACC, and I think it might have been in response to the ACC official, like one of their head officials just quit because of how the league handled a review process where essentially the broad strokes for everyone out there, Syracuse was playing UConn. There was a questionable play. They waited. Snap, play over. Ball spotted for next play. Replay buzzes down and is like, hey, no, we're going back and we're viewing the other play that had already happened. And the official was so upset with the way that, I guess even afterwards, the way that it got handled, he just quit. And this is one of their better officials.
A man of principle.
I kind of respect it. So on Thursday night, Cobb and I are watching NC State Wake getting gross with it. And one of the first things you notice is the first time they had a replay review, they went to the command center in Charlotte and they gave you the audio. It was like they used to do when we were watching XFL or USFL when they first started doing it, and they would have you walk through the review process. You just got to hear the audio. And it actually works. Like, you hear what they go through. It works. And I'm sitting there going, like, I think every league's going to have to go to this. Especially if you're a league that does replay with the command center, I think the TV is just, like, you're going to have to go to, because now everybody's getting so insane about the conspiracies and whatnot. If you just show the process, you realize, like, all they're trying to do is get it right. Like, maybe it's a judgment call and maybe you saw it one way or the other, but basically what you hear is that the replay official that's at the command center goes, here's how I see it, what do you got? And then the head official's like, I see this, and you watch them go through it. And the other thing is, I think it's actually smart to do this because it makes the replay reviews not feel as long because you're actually watching something happen.
Yeah, you're actually a part of the process. Not to mention, it gives your poor play-by-play and color commentator a chance
break.
To breathe instead of having to fill 2.5 minutes of dead air while we watch the same replay 10 different times from 3 different angles. It actually, lets them take a breath, grab a drink of water, and then, you know, a rare W for the ACC by
doing
that.
And, like, I really do think it solves a lot of the problems.
I'm sure there's still going to be conspiracy theorists out there. They'll find holes in any process. But I agree. Like when you can walk somebody through it.
Yeah,
like
I guess here's what I'll say. I'll definitely agree with you. There's always going to be fans that will think there's a conspiracy against their team. But what I think it does is for the other other unbiased, like that don't have a team in it, that are watching it, they can shut it down being like, nah, man, we like heard the entire thought process. Like that made sense what they did.
And it's better than having a rules analyst on there saying, well, here's what I think. Because 95% of the time, they end up just agreeing with whatever the replay.
Well, and that's also a tough gig because all these guys are sitting in a studio and there's like 38 games going on. Like, hey, we need you on this one. He probably hasn't even been watching the play that's in question.
Right.
No.
Yeah, he's watching it in real time with the rest of us.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Garrett is a grind city media personality. You can see him every single day on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Every single weekday, I should say. Also, make sure you're checking out the HBCU Huddle, streaming wherever you can find grind city media content on Twitter, on X at ConRadicalness. CJ, should Notre Dame still be ranked?
I don't think so. But, you know, it's week three. So it'll all work itself out when it's all said and done. We've got to start looking at who you've played, not just who you've beaten. If you're telling me that Notre Dame is sitting there at 0-2 with losses, one on the road to Miami, who at this current time is a top 10 team, and a loss to Texas A&M, close loss, hard-fought game to Texas A&M, who at this time is a top 10 team, then, if I'm looking around and another team is sitting there at 2-1 with a loss to a ranked team and two wins over one over a non-power team and another over an FCS team, ranked Notre Dame. I'm fine with that. It'll all work itself out in the end, I'm sure of it, but we've got to stop rewarding teams for beating up on nobodies, and we've got to stop rewarding teams for beating up on nobodies and reward teams who got quality wins, and unfortunately, like as weird as it sounds, a quality loss or two in there as well.
You're starting to sound like an SEC fan.
Well, listen, man, I'm a fan of good, competent.
No, I'm with you, because that's what I struggled with, because it's like...
That's what it's got to be.
No, because I'm with you, because I don't want to disincentivize teams to play these games, because both those games were awesome, and I'm glad I got to watch them. But, like, the struggle that I have is, like, you're sitting at 0-2. It's like you don't have a resume. I'm like you also, though. I don't get that worked up about it. It's like, what can I say that Penn State has done? Or what can I say that some of these other teams have done that deserve to be ranked? I guess the way that I looked at it with Notre Dame is, like, if they'll have a chance to work their way back in it. But, like, I'm with you. I don't want to sit there and stop incentivizing teams to play the games that I enjoyed watching.
Listen, there are some teams, you bring up the SEC part of it. There are some teams who may very well end up 8-4 in the SEC. and I think maybe in the Big Ten also. But like there could be an 8-4 team who I think you could absolutely make the case should be an 8-12 team playoff. You know, you take a look around and you think about Oklahoma. I don't have their schedule pulled up in front of me, but you think about if everything holds for Oklahoma and Michigan ends up still ranked, and you've got a game against Texas and they're still ranked, and then you've got a game somewhere, I think, against Ole Miss as I'm pulling up
so,
the schedule.
Yeah, I got it in front of me right now. So they got Auburn this week.
Auburn ends the season still ranked. That's fine. Texas ends the season still ranked. Ole Miss still ranked. Tennessee still ranked. Alabama still ranked. Missouri still ranked. LSU still ranked. Right, with a win over a ranked Michigan team, if Oklahoma beats Texas, beats Ole Miss, loses to Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, and LSU, and everybody's still ranked, like that's a good resume. They would have four losses to ranked teams in addition to four wins against ranked teams. Like that's what I'm talking about here. You're like looking at the teams that they played in the totality, not just saying, okay, they lost four games, they can't get in.
All right, CJ, it's your boy David Cobb here. How you doing, man?
Look, man, yo, what's up, baby?
Man, it's been a long time since I've had somebody refer to me as Lil Convey, yo. We've talked on a number of different airwaves. Oh, yeah, so Jeffrey, so this is from back in the day when I was covering the Grizzlies, and the whole story of this, you know, the season before they picked Ja,
yeah,
the whole story of that season became would they convey the pick?
I forgot that debate. Oh yeah,
so CJ
it was like player convey, it's like, do you want him to keep playing or yeah
that I basically became the will they convey beat writer, and CJ remembers that those days well. All right, similar,
because we were talking about it. I don't know why we were talking about that pick, but we were talking about it like last week. I was talking about it with some people. I was like, oh yeah, and we would have David Cobb come on and we go Lil Convey, yo.
Yeah, like if the Grizzlies go 6-7 over their last 13, there's a 40% chance that the pick won't convey.
You just opened Tankathon every single day to start the day.
Yes.
I mean, thank goodness those lottery balls bounced in the Grizzlies' favor and got them the number two pick, because there was nothing else to talk about in that era of Grizzlies basketball.
I remember having to talk myself into Jarrett Culver, because like they were sitting at like 7, and it's like, you know, he put a team on his back and took them, like they should have won a national title.
But he ended up playing for the Grizzlies eventually.
Yeah, they got him anyway in that trade.
No, he did. All right, I've got a tough situation here. I could use a second opinion, CJ. I do the bottom 25 for CBS Sports, and it's going to publish tomorrow. And this year, I am putting at least 10 Power 4 teams in the bottom 25 every year. They get an automatic bid. So would you have 1-2 Clemson in your bottom 25, or would you have 0-2 Notre Dame in your bottom 25? Which of those teams is more deserving of ridicule and scorn right now?
I'm going with Clemson. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. But Clemson for me is a bottom 25 type team, because they lost at home to LSU, and they lost to a Georgia Tech team that I'm not sure if they are very good, right? Like, I think that when it's all said and done, it wouldn't surprise me if Miami and Texas A&M in the season ranked. I'm not saying in the top 10, I'm just saying ranked. It would surprise the hell out of me if Georgia Tech ended the season still ranked. Pleasantly surprised now, mind you, but it would still be pretty surprising. I feel like I feel like Georgia Tech is in the rankings right now solely based off of the fact that they beat Clemson, but that Georgia Tech schedule is like easy. It's easy when you look at it right now. They've got Temple, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Duke, Syracuse, North Carolina State, Boston College, Pitt, and Georgia. And I would still be surprised with those teams on there if they ended the season ranked. But like they could I could turn around at the end of the year, look up, and this Georgia Tech team be last year's Indiana team, where they're sitting there at, you know, 11-1 or 10-2 and in the playoffs, possibly even in their conference championship game, depending on how everything shakes out with Miami and Florida State. So I'm going to say Clemson is the team that should be in the bottom 25.
All right, I got a couple others for you, Cobb. K-State.
Oh, they're going to be in the ranked in the bottom 25. Yeah, don't worry.
Throw them in there.
Florida.
They're the SEC's automatic representative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech and UCLA, but I mean they have to be.
Yeah, there's nothing fluky about them. And then Oklahoma State, I think, might be number one this week. They're still reeling off that loss to Oregon.
Yeah. CJ, who do you think
that makes sense?
Well, let's see
about... wait, what are we doing? What are we doing with the Pac-12 schools? What are we doing with Oregon State? Are we counting them?
Did anybody see what happened to Wazoo this weekend?
They have fallen off a cliff.
Wazoo went to the death trap that, of course, is Denton, Texas. And they were down 42-3 at half.
Right, yeah. So if they're powered, then both of them are absolutely in there.
They will be. And doesn't the Pac-12s, like, or what's left of the Pac-12 and what's going to be a part of the Pac-12 next season, it's starting to look less and less appealing.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, if you're Memphis, like, there's always that pool to want to go to the, quote, better league. But, man, like, the American actually looks pretty decent in football right now.
Yeah, it is. Listen, man, you got to go where the money is. And that's what's got to be the thing that drives you, not just where the money is, but also where teams are being pulled from. I don't think anybody's searching to pull teams from the pack, whatever it's going to be. I think Memphis' best bet is to get as creative as humanly possible so that they can end up in one of the Big 12 or ACC, because that's where you want to get to. Colorado going to make that list, Kyle?
They're in the running, man. I will give Colorado this. Their two losses are actually against decent teams.
Yeah, Georgia Tech and Houston. I'm not sure maybe in hindsight that playing was it Martin Luther Staub? What do we call him?
Yeah. I don't know that Colorado's got a lot of answers. If they're not in the bottom 25 this week, CJ, they're gonna be flirting with it. Like, Coach Prime's got a lot to figure out, man. Like, he doesn't have a quarterback, he doesn't have Travis Hunter. And he's got a pretty tough Big 12 schedule ahead of him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how good Houston is. They got the win over Colorado, and that's great. But they beat Stephen F. Austin and Rice. So they could get in the Big 12 play where they would have to play. Oh, they got Oregon State in 2 weeks. That'll be fine. Well, they could get in the Big 12 play where they got to go to Arizona State, and they've got a couple other tough games on there. And that could derail them, but I'm not sure just yet how good though the Cougars are. So I think I would have Colorado at the bottom 25.
All right, I got to ask you this. I understand playing Central Michigan is not the same as playing at Oklahoma, but didn't you find yourself thinking, why didn't we run this offense against Oklahoma?
Hey, listen, man, you got to allow him, Underwood being the him, to push the ball. You got to allow him to stand tall in the pocket and throw just to see whether or not he has it or not against Oklahoma. Also, you have to do that. It was great seeing them beat that out of Central Michigan, a team that will probably also be in the bottom 25.
Yes.
But, like, it's you got to let him throw it, because if you don't, he'll just transfer. You know, it's great you get him on campus, but it's not guaranteed he stays. And I think he's good enough to stay and throw the stats out the window. When you watch him, he makes throws that a lot of guys at this level aren't capable of making and do not make routinely. He makes them routinely. And it's just a tad bit disheartening that in that game they didn't let him try and showcase all that it was that he could do, because they were trying to protect him. I don't think this is a guy who needs protecting. I think you need to unleash him much the same way that Clemson unleashed Trevor Lawrence. Well, Trevor Lawrence was a freshman and an underclassman. Johnny Manziel and some of these other guys who just got unleashed onto the college football world as freshmen. I think it's time you do that with Underwood just three games into his career.
How do you power rank the Big Ten right now? Like, who do you think are the top five teams in the Big Ten?
Oregon, Penn State, I guess, whatever. The one in Columbus, you can throw them in there if you so choose.
Like, I mean, isn't this true now? Don't you kind of, like, listen, I think Ohio State's really good, and I think they're going to be there. But like the data point is what we've seen from Texas. And it's like, hey, they held Texas to 7 points. It's like, well, UTEP held them to like 20.
Yeah. But they still did it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but it's almost like I feel like I'm almost giving too much credence to that. But now what I would say the difference is Texas's defense is still really good. And they were able to move the ball, I felt like, more effectively. Like until they started sitting on it in the second half when they just decided like, hey, we're up 14, like we can only lose this game. Like they were still able to move it a little bit better than I thought.
Yes. And if you're doing a top five in the Big Ten and you don't put them in there, are you putting Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Nebraska, Michigan in there, USC? Are you putting those schools in there ahead of over Ohio State?
No. That's the thing. It's like I don't know. I've gone from thinking like at the end of week one, I was like, all right, Ohio State's defense is really good. That offense will come along. But yeah, no, but I'm not. No, that's your point. Like, no, I'm not putting them over. I'm still not putting them over USC. I am putting them over USC. I'm not like jumping them. I think the real question is like this Michigan Nebraska game. What are your thoughts on it this weekend? Because like it does feel like the winner can actually springboard themselves totally squarely back into the playoff. And then the other one's going to be like, all right, well, I guess we'll see you next year.
I don't think either one of these teams are playoff caliber. One. Two, if Nebraska can protect Rayola, then they got a good shot. I don't think that they can, and I don't think he's a good decision maker.
No, I agree.
He's got a bit too much gunslinger in him, and I think that when they play like competition, that Cincinnati was like-ish, and that was a three-point win for them. When they play like competition or, God forbid, somebody who's got better athletes than they have, he will make the mistake to bite them in the butt.
CJ, I really appreciate you being with us, man.
Appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, let's tell your story. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, we mentioned at the top of the show, shame on every one of our friends that are golf fans not tipping us off to the fact that Scottie Scheffler was plus money to start the day yesterday. Well, Lanto Griffin was under a lot of pressure. This was from Monday Q, the Monday Q Twitter account, which is a great Twitter account for like the kind of the absurdities of golf and like all the amazing people that are like Monday qualifying and whatnot. Ben Griffin and Scottie will feel some pressure on the back nine. But there's no player under more pressure these last few holes than Lanto Griffin. Currently 142nd in points and well outside the top 100 to keep his full card, the last six holes are vital. He currently is projected to move up 33 spots to 109. Well, he ends up finishing third, and he had this to say after the round, Cobb, quote, "I kind of wish Scottie wasn't here."
That's what the Europeans are going to be saying here in a couple of weeks.
I'm of two minds. Like, are we going to realize, like, we get to next week and it's like, oh, yeah, this thing's just rigged for the home teams to win? Because, like, when I look at it, it's like, I'm not sure the Euros should be that big of an underdog.
Home field advantage. Oddly enough, it's bigger in golf than in any other sport.
At Ryder Cup. But, like, that's the other thing. They have more bombers than we do.
Did you see the line Rory was taking?
Oh my gosh, yes.
First practice hole at Bethpage Black. Yeah, my goodness.
He also looked like he was back wearing like 2014 Nike 2-tones. All right, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.